Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Bonnie James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Leva, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
From saxophonist Quentin Gerard W's new CD, Before It's Gone, you just heard When Things Don't Go So Well. We welcome Quentin back from a previous interview we did with him in January to talk about this brand new CD, Before It's Gone. Quentin, welcome back to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hey, how are you doing? It's good
doing
to be
well.
Back.
Doing well. I like that song. That was nice. Really like that.
All right, though. Hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah, remember, let me reintroduce you to my co-host, Mike Reynolds.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Quinn?
Good to see you back in football season again, Mike.
Yeah, it is football.
How's them Redskins doing, Mike?
Oh, well, they doing okay, but I'm not a Redskins fan, so I'm kind of mad that y'all doing good.
Mm-hmm. See, if it was the Cowboys, it would be a different story.
Oh, that's right.
Cowboys. He was in D.C., I think it was, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I'm in D.C.
I'm not even going to talk about that Cowboy thing. I'm going to let that go.
No, that's taking too much time.
He'll throw you out the car. That's what he'll do. Well, Quentin, thanks again, and welcome again to the show. As I was telling him before we came on the air, I really like this CD, and I like everything about it, the CD cover, the front and back, and the music. So let's start with, tell me about the song I just played, When Things Don't Go So Well.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you again for having me at Talking Smooth Jazz. It's always a pleasure to come on with you guys. I have so much fun when I'm here, actually. So it's a pleasure to be here. And the CD, Before It's Gone, has a track on it, number 4, called When Things Don't Go So Well. And that song was actually working on with another producer whose name is Eric Nicholas, a very fine producer that I work with on this record. And I wanted to come up with a ballad that was very elegant and pretty,
mm-hmm.
but yet still maintained that element of funk which is my funky sax thing, you know, and my funky style of playing the saxophone that has more, has a real urban feel and a real, you know, funky vibe to it. So, but I wanted to combine and merge that elegant thing with it. So thus you have that beautiful piano intro, which he did a very good job on. And at the time we wrote the song, I had no idea what the title was. So unfortunately, I'm sure you guys remember from the last conversation we had, I had that finger injury. So I was actually right in the middle of recording this song when that happened. The saxophone.
Okay.
And so somewhere in the middle of it, I had like a half a sax track halfway through the song. And then I had the injury. So I was off 10 months later. So I didn't actually get back to that song for 10 months. So I had to take a 10-month hiatus. And then when I finally got back to the song, that's where the title came from, When Things Don't Go So Well.
So, you know. Oh, all right. Now, how's your finger? Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm good now. I'm blazing again. So, I had to go through a little transition period there to kind of compensate for things. But it feels good, and I'm blessed. I'm looking forward to getting out there and doing some shows, which I've already done. I had my record release party a couple weeks ago. That went just wonderful. It was stellar, so had a lot of fun.
Okay. And that was going to be my, first question was catch us up to what you've been doing since we, last interviewed you and everything. So.
Right. Now, when I talked to you guys, it was like January. I was over at NAMM in Los Angeles.
Actually,
it was Anaheim, but. I went through that, and then when I got back from that, I had to get on board to finish recording this project, which took me all the way up to about the summer. I think we finished the actual tracking around the end of May, early June, and then, I had to go through a whole bunch of photo sessions and all that drama that goes along with this. And then I actually got called up. I had to go up to Spokane to do a show in Spokane, Washington, so I was kind of busy this summer doing some performances, and then got back and we geared up for the record release, which happened in around August 1st. The record was released on August 1st. So right now we're getting set up for the single to go to radio, terrestrial radio and stuff like that. So that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Okay, and what single is that going to be?
That's going to be a song called Like This, Like That, which is, I think, number 3 on the CD.
Okay, Like This, Like That. All right, I'll play that. Now, I want to talk to you about the artwork on the cover. I love the cover, the front cover, because it's just a saxophone. It's simple.
Yeah.
It's nothing ornate or elaborate. And then the back part of it, it looks like you're in a park. So tell us about the artwork.
Okay, absolutely. A lot of times when, you think about a CD, I wanted to go back to the old school, old days when I was young and I would purchase a CD, and a lot of times, the artwork of the CD speaks to you before you even hear the music. So what I wanted to do was keep consistent with my whole funky sax concept, which is to remove myself out of it and really make it about the art and the music. So I wanted to get off of the CD cover because if you're aware, the first two CDs I did, well, my face is plastered all over the CD cover, So that's done strategically for reasons so that, people that don't know me and I was a new artist or whatever, they get to see what you look like and things like that. Well, after two CDs of that, I'm like, okay, everybody knows who I am now. I don't need to do that anymore. I want to get off. And really what I wanted to do was I wanted to say, hey, Quentin Gerard and the saxophone is synonymous. So when you see this next CD, what I'm going to do called Before It's Gone, I want it to just be a saxophone. Because people that are looking for saxophone music, when you see that CD cover, that's got to be something that I want to hear right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole concept that I came up with that I wanted to portray on this new CD cover. I wanted to get off of it because it's not about me. It's about my music, and I wanted to express that through the visual aspect of the CD and let people know that I want you to really focus in on the music this time. It's not really about me or what I'm wearing or where I'm at and that kind of thing. And as far as the back of the CD, like I mentioned, I was up in Spokane earlier this summer, and I had such a great time up there, and I went to some really nice places And so I incorporated some of that, some of those places I went in the CD cover artwork, because that park on the back of there, that's actually Spokane City Park there, Spokane Park it's called. And on the interior of the CD, there's this beautiful waterfall that only happens once a year during that time up there, and I was just blown away by it. It was breathtaking, so I thought I'd go ahead and put that in there.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. I love the park. You know, my goal is to move to Seattle. I love this park and the waterfall. It's just, it's really nice artwork. I think it's very nice.
Yeah. And you know, what you said, a lot of times, you know, coming out the gate, a lot of artists, we've seen artists that do the opposite of what you said. Like, you know, Boney James, when he was on the show, he told us that, you know, his first couple of CDs, his face was not on the CD. It was just, you know, a picture of something, you know, or some handprints on the car, like when Rad and things like that. Then he started to incorporate his face onto his CD covers and everything. But you took it the route to go the opposite way, you know, kind of put your face out there first and then come back and, you know, just make it about the music and the artwork and all that type of thing.
Absolutely. Mike, I think that's so fascinating, though, because it reminds me of back in the day, one of my favorite groups, and what one of my favorite groups still is, Spiral Gyra. And, you know, their early albums, you never saw the group on the album cover. Back in those days were records, you know, big albums and things. And they always had interesting artwork, you know,
artwork,
the Incognito record and Catching the Sun record. I mean, you know, they have this beautiful, you know, a garden-looking motif thing with this lady with butterfly wings. And I always was saying to myself, like, okay, what are they trying to tell me here, you know, through the artwork? And then it kind of sets you up for the music so that when you put the actual CD on and you hear the music, you kind of connect the artwork and the music, and it's such a beautiful experience. And that's where you get the absolute entire aspect of the experience of that particular CD and that art. So I just think it's fascinating, and I wanted to go back and share that with the people that like Quentin Gerard music and let them know, hey, look, I'm gonna put the saxophone out there, because that's really what this is about. I want you to enjoy good saxophone music if that's what you like, if that's the instrument you want to buy this time. Because, you know, there's guitar players, there's piano players, there's trumpet players, on and on. But for that person that's looking for good saxophone music, I'm saying to you, here's saxophone, and you're going to get that on this record.
I agree. We are talking to saxophonist Quentin Gerard W. about his brand new CD, Before It's Gone. Come join us in the chat room and join in on the conversation by going to talkingsmoothjazz.com and clicking on Quentin's name, and that will bring you right into the chat room. If you'd like to call in and speak with him, the number is 646-716-5485. So now, one last question before I get to the single that you are releasing. Is this your saxophone on the cover?
Yes, that is my actual saxophone. That's my alto.
That's
my man.
Yeah. It makes a powerful statement when it's just, when it's really clean like this, you know, and there's not a whole lot of artwork behind it. It's just clean picture with the saxophone in front of it. To me, that's a very powerful statement. And when I got the CD, I was like, oh, I like this cover very much.
That's awesome, because I've gotten so many compliments on that, and it's amazing how many people, as a matter of fact, one lady in Houston that's a pretty good follower of mine, she actually emailed me. She said she hadn't even listened to the CD yet. She can't get past the artwork. I mean, I was like, you're kidding me. And I'm that's a true story. I'm not making that up. I'm not fabricating that. That's real. So, and I was saying to myself, well, gosh, that makes me feel good, because that means that person can relate to what I'm putting out there and what I'm trying to say. And for me, I wanted this record. I'd worked so hard on this record. This record took me 3 years, guys, to get finished, you know, with the accent and everything. So I did not want to, you know, hold back or cut it short. I wanted to make sure that it was visually stunning and well-produced musically, and I wanted it to be the complete package, because we've got some great things planned for this record to hopefully get it out there to the masses. And not necessarily to make Quentin Gerard bigger or anything, but people that love this style of music and love this music, if you haven't heard this record, you miss it out. And that's true, because I've got 13 tracks on this thing that I listen to, and I'm listening to it like a customer or like a person that just purchased it, and I don't even listen to it like it's me, and I'm just loving it. So I know it's got to be doing something.
Well,
you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, that brings up a good point with the artwork and the, you know, the cover thing and everything, because I see now, you know, this is a question now. I'm going to pose this as a question. Now, do you feel that now we focus more so on the artist, more so than, you know, about the music?
Mike, absolutely. And you know what? I'm so glad you asked me that question. And I'll just give you my own personal opinion on that. I think we live in a world now, in a culture where we've kind of, you know, I guess you would say made a transition to the me, you know, the ego-centric reality of our experience in this reality called life, where it's all about, if you look at TV, everything is about me. You got T.O. running around, Ocho Cinco, you know, you got all these people that, you know, they use a medium. For example, I can even use the football example. They use football as a medium to, you know, express themselves. But then they somehow transcend the game itself into an individualism or individualistic reality. You see what I'm saying?
That's true.
And what happens when you do that, that persona that that person develops, you know, it somehow diminishes the quality of the work that they do. Because now it's not about you playing football. It's about you tweeting, and it's about you on these reality TV shows and all this stuff, which is a great marketing for them. I mean, they make a lot of money doing that. But remember, we would not know about these people if it wasn't for football. And
that's
with
right.
that said, that's where I want to keep it. I don't ever want to get to the point where, you know, it's about me to the point that people forget that I'm a artist and a jazz musician, because I think the art is really the spiritual aspect of it, and that's what needs to get the focus, not the person that's the stuff. It's the artwork, it's the job, it's the work, it's the music, it's the creation, which ties us to the creator. So that's my whole thing. It's like, I don't ever want to get into this concept where I'm larger than the creation itself.
And you know, and that's so true, because, you know, back in the day, you know, music was good music. You know, it didn't matter who played it, how they looked, you know, how they were marketed and things like that. It was just great music, whether it was from Grover, you know, Al Porter, or, you know, Miles Davis, whoever. It didn't matter. But now we kind of you know, brand everything about, okay, this sounds like that person. That must be that person. And it doesn't make it about the music anymore. It makes it about just the person playing the music, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of artists nowadays are so busy trying to, you know, brand themselves, and which is not a bad thing, but, you know, I know some unknown artists that have some very, very great music, but people aren't exposed to that because they don't have the name, like, you know, like they're supposed to go today. But if this was in the 70s or 80s, it wouldn't matter. They would be, you know, top-notch artists because their music was just that good. It didn't matter who they were.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, let me welcome to the chat room Anisha, Carrie Ann, and the guests. We have four guests in the chat room. Welcome. And I just want to let you know, Quentin, that Carrie Ann says she loves your new album and that she has all three of your albums, and they are crazy good.
Well, thank you, Carrie Ann. I really appreciate that. That's awesome to hear that you got all three of those records. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much.
Right. Okay, let's get to Like This, Like That. Tell me about this single.
Like This, Like That. Okay, this was, I don't really remember exactly what sequence it fell in as far as the recording process, but the concept here was that I wanted to do a song that was smooth jazz kind of, you know, oriented, because, you know, one of the things being the funky sax players, a lot of people think that, well, my music is, you know, funky and R&B and all this stuff, and there's not really any smooth jazz element to what I do. So I wanted to let everybody know that, you know, the Before It's Gone record is really cool because it has the R&B, the blues, gospel feel to it. It's got the funk and everything, but it also has some really cool smooth jazz tracks on it. And this song, Like This, Like That, I wrote specifically for Smooth Jazz Radio and for that format, because a scenario, or I guess I should say experience I had with the first two records, it was really hard for radio to pick a song off of my previous two CDs to play and feel comfortable about. So I said, okay, well, let me help you guys out on this record. I wrote a song, and I said, I'm going to write a smooth jazz song. And the name of that song is Like This, Like That. And the reason I named it Like This, Like That was because I'm saying to everybody, I can play like this, and I can play like that.
Oh, all right. I like that. All right. From Quentin Gerard W.'s brand new CD, Before It's Gone, Like This, Like That.
Thank you.
Like This, Like That, from saxophonist Quentin Gerard W.'s new CD, Before It's Gone. So, Quentin, now you mentioned that there are some things happening in terms of this CD that's coming up. Can you share some of that with us?
Yeah, we got, like I said, we're getting geared up to get this single out to radio. Of course, Talking Smooth Jazz is very privileged because they got to get it out there first before anybody else did it.
So oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got here. You guys are right on, man. That's awesome. We got that going on. I'm putting together a tour, and we're going to probably be doing a lot of dates on the website and working our way back to the east side, as we say. And this record has been submitted for Grammy nomination. So that's exciting.
Oh, really?
Well, congratulations
yeah.
on that.
Wow,
thank you
yes.
so much. It's already been submitted to be considered for nominating, getting nominated for Grammy. So I'm just fascinated at that. And so we're gonna ride that wave. Look for the single to hit radio within the next, I would say, somewhere in this quarter. Although my management, people like that, they're trying to decide if they're going to go before Christmas or after Christmas because, of course, you know, we have to compete with the Christmas music and da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
know, now,
so I'm not sure it's coming out.
Okay, now what category will the CD be in? Because didn't they eliminate the jazz category in the Grammys?
Well, they've eliminated quite a few categories, but yet there are still some categories that are still there. And believe it or not, we talked about the art design earlier. It has also been submitted for artwork. You can actually
oh.
get a Grammy for best CD artwork design. So this CD has been submitted for as many categories as available for it. I think one of the categories for sure was best solo instrumental performance.
Okay.
There's a song on there called Foster's Child, which was submitted for best jazz instrumental performance. So there's quite a few categories that it's been submitted for, and we'll see if we're fortunate enough to actually get the nominations for it. So I'm looking forward to that, see how that turns out. And that's just a testament and testimony to how well this project has been received internally. You know, and I'm very excited. I mean, what can I say?
Yes, yeah, that is very exciting, very exciting. Now, you mentioned about the song Like This, Like That, that you wrote that song for Smooth Jazz Radio format. Do you think the term smooth jazz is hurting the format?
Well, I don't think that it's hurting the format at all. Actually, I believe that the format, It needs to relax and just let it be what it's going to be, and I think eventually it will settle, like all the dust will settle on to what it's going to be. But smooth jazz, I think when people conceptually hear that term,
mm-hmm.
they know what it is. However, I think what it is, I don't like to talk about problems, but I think the thing is that when people say smooth jazz, they don't want it to be so smooth that it puts you to sleep,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know. And I think sometimes that stigma gets placed upon our genre of music, and you know it kind of turns people out. For example, the younger crowd, and that's why you know I personally, you know, have come along with three records that if I'm sure you guys know by hearing my music, you know, I'm trying to incorporate more of a modern mainstream youth aspect to this music so it can evolve into the next level of smooth jazz, because smooth jazz is a great concept. It's a great, I guess you would say, tagline for this style of music. But it needs to continue to grow and evolve with our current times and culture. It can't just sit back in the 90s, you know, and just stay there. It has to grow, but it can't also be afraid to take chances.
Mm. Okay.
It's got to be creative, and it has to allow the creativity to continue to dictate the path that this music is going to follow. So I mean, that's just my take on it.
Okay. All right. That's a good take on it. It's a good take. The next song I'm going to play is track number 7, and I'm going to let you pronounce it.
What's that?
Number 7.
I know the song, but I don't know the number. Hold on.
The mask. It's a math reference?
Oh, yes, the Asthmatope.
The Asthmatope, okay.
Yes.
Okay, tell me about this one.
I'm going to tell you about this, and it's funny you said that because everybody asked me, okay, what is that? How do you even say that word?
Say that.
And you know what's weird about it? It's pronounced nothing like it's written, okay?
Right, exactly.
Because if you look at it, it says asymptote, right? So,
yes.
the song and the title came about my find back when I was working on this record. Back in 2007, I was sitting in calculus class, okay, my final semester, finish up my degree. And I was introduced to this concept in calculus and mathematics called the asthmatope. And what an asthmatope is, it's a you plot it on a graph, and it's two consensual lines. When you plot them, that curve, and they come together towards each other, but they never touch, and they actually come closer and closer and closer and closer together, but they never touch all the way to infinity. So I just found that to be fascinating. I don't know about you guys, but that kind of stuff just intrigues Quinn Jaror. I mean, I just get off on that stuff. So I was like, wow. I mean, think about it. Because when you plot the graph, you see the numbers just go on to infinity, and the lines keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller, but they never touch. You know, and I was like, okay, that's a great concept. And then when I was writing this song, I had three distinct separate saxophone melodies that I merged together to create this one melody out of it. And when you play the song, you'll hear that there's actually three melodies going at the same time, but they're all merged together, and they give you this one melodic sound. So that's where the term asthmatope came from, and I attributed that to that concept of, you know, just coming together but never touching. And, you know, it's kind of a metaphor, you know, if you think about it. So that's what that is.
You got an A in that class, didn't you?
I'm not going to say that. I didn't go there. Nope, I didn't go there. I did not get an A, but I passed.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, this.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's all that matters then. Okay. All right. Well, this is the Asthmatope is the name of this song. Okay, that was Asmatope. Did I pronounce that right?
the Asmatope.
Asmatope. I like that song, though. I like that. And who's doing the vocals in that?
That's actually a vocal loop, a license-free vocal loop, might I add.
Okay.
And it's one of those little situations where I was in a studio being creative, and I have a huge affection and love for house music and dance music. And on this record, there was two things that I wanted to do. I wanted to do something that was gospel influenced and something that was house music influenced, because I just love that driving kick drum, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's on all four beats.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to do that on my last two records. So, you know, when you go into a new CD project, you know, as an artist, we have like concepts of, you know, some things that we want to do and some things we want to say. And one of the things I wanted to do on this record was definitely do something that was house sounding, you know, something you could hear in a club. And then also, yet it still maintains the integrity of jazz incorporated in there. So, for example, if somebody's playing in a club, they'll hear those saxophones and they'll be like, wow, man, I didn't know jazz music can sound like this. So, you know, what we're doing is we're infusing jazz into a whole nother genre of music that opens it up to a whole nother demographic of listeners, you know what I mean, to come and explore what we're doing over here with jazz. And, you know, that's really what I try to do as an artist. I want to see this music thrive, and I want to see the music grow. I want to do my part to carry the torch and pass it on to the next generation of jazzers on into the future, you know, and I do that by respecting the past, but realizing and understanding the present so I can, you know, get to the future.
Okay. All right. Now, tell us about this cruise that's coming up for you.
Okay. Yeah, we're doing a cruise, and it'll be May of next year, May 20th through the 27th on the Carnival Conquest cruise line. And I was invited to participate in this cruise, which was, you know, exciting for me because it's the New Orleans jazz cruise. And what they're going to do is they're getting together. I know, because there's like jazz cruises all over, really, a lot of different ones you can choose from. But the people that are putting this one together thought it would be great to have a New Orleans style jazz cruise. In other words, that features a lot of the eclectic native New Orleans style music through their musicians. So I was called upon because I'm, of course, from this area, and I'm going to represent the smooth jazz aspect or the contemporary jazz aspect of that New Orleans cruise, along with, you know, people like Donald Harrison, trumpeter James Andrews. We got the Congo Nation, Mardi Gras Indians going to be there, Michael Ward, and a lot of local New Orleans musicians and musical style of music that's going to be on that cruise. And that's going to happen May 20th through the 27th of 2012. So if anybody listening out there interested in going on a cruise, and if that's something you do, hey, come on and join us down there on that New Orleans cruise. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And they are going to Montego Bay, Jamaica, Grand Cayman, Cayman Islands, Cozumel, Mexico. I've been to Cozumel. It's beautiful there.
Yeah,
beautiful there. For more information on this cruise, you can go to getawaytraveletainment.com. That's getawaytraveletainment.com. And you can also find out more information about it on Quentin's website. His first name is spelled Quintin. GerardW.com is his website. Are you on Twitter?
Yes, Funky Sax Twitter is my Twitter name.
And that's FNKY, right? Sax.
That's correct.
Okay.
FNKYSAX.
All right, that's on Twitter. All right. Well, Mike, do you have any more questions for Mr. Quentin?
No more. That's it.
All right. Well, Quentin, thank you again for giving us the opportunity to speak with you.
Oh, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you guys. I love talking smooth jazz, because that's what we do.
Yes,
smooth
that's what
jazz,
we do.
And that's what we talk about. So I get excited when we talk about smooth jazz.
Well, thank you. Now, I have a quick question for you in the chat room. Carrie Ann just posted. She wants to know, when are you starting on your next album?
When am I starting? They're pushing me already, right?
Yes.
That's the question. You know, you just never know. I mean, I could wake up tomorrow morning and start writing songs, but actually, probably realistically, I'm going to probably start working on the next CD somewhere around January, January 1st of the year, because I got a lot of stuff going on with this one, a lot of dates and things, so it kind of takes you away from the creative aspect, and then I'll get going with that, and I've already been approached by very reputable producers that want to work with me on the next record, so, I mean, it's like crazy what's going on, because some people have heard this, and I can't mention who they are, of course, because I give it away. I told you I have secrets.
Yes, you do.
Terry, my thing is, why does everybody that comes on here always tell us something that they can't tell us?
Right. They tease us with it and then won't tell us what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't do that because that would just, you know, give it away. But, some really cool people have called me and expressed an interest in producing my next record. So that's exciting. So as good as this one's going to be, I expect the next one after this to be that much better. And I will get to writing those songs pretty soon here. So,
but, you know, back in the day, it used to be an artist would maybe release one CD a year, maybe even every 2 years. But now they're releasing CDs, 2-3 CDs a year.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual, you know?
Well, you know, with the way things are now, technology-wise, it's a little easier to do that. But if you notice, for me, I still can't seem to get one out, you know, within 2 years, because for me, the creative aspect takes a lot longer than that. And I will not put a song on the CD, or I will not write a song on the CD if it just doesn't make me feel something. See, and that's the prerequisite for a Quinn Gerard album or a CD. It has to... The song has to have something in it. And this is not saying that the stuff that other people are doing doesn't. I'm just saying that for me, the creative concept and the spiritual aspect of it takes a little longer for me, because I've got to be in tune with myself and what I want to say musically, you know, before I actually go in with the concept of the song that I'm trying to produce. And then at that point, once I know or have a feel for what I'm trying to create, and what message I'm trying to disseminate, at that point, that's when, you know, I'll go in and write a song. And then if I write the song and then I listen back to it and it just doesn't do anything for me, it doesn't make the cut. I keep writing. I'll keep writing more, you know, until I find that one that just says, wow, there's something there. You know, and you can tell. You can feel it, you know.
Definitely. Yeah. We've heard music that, you know, has not sounded all that great. And you could tell that it just wasn't a lot of, a lot of passion maybe, or a lot of effort, or just not a lot of heart, or not a lot of love put into it.
And remember, these days, go ahead, Mike, sorry.
No, I'm just going to say, you know, probably what you're going to say, you know, I mean, because, you know, one thing that you're doing by doing that is keeping it real with yourself. You know, you got to keep it real with yourself and say, you know, if you're not feeling it, I know somebody else is not going to feel it. You know what I mean? So that's a good way to go with it. Just say, hey, man, I'm feeling this. I like this. This one makes the cut, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of times now we got so much access to music. The market is absolutely flooded with music, unlike it used to be back in the day. We got kids out there now going to buy gear, and they're producing music, never took a music course in their life, never really don't really understand the structure or the composition. You know, they don't know what chord structures are. Harmonies, melodic ideas, they don't understand the fundamental element of what a song is comprised of. You know, a song is comprised of rhythm, melody, and harmony. You got to have all three of those working together at the same time to have a song. If you just have, you know, one or two of those without the other, it's not a song. It's just a track.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened, we've been now desensitized and deprogrammed to just listen to tracks now. And there's no writing anymore. And this is the tragedy of what's happened in this digital age, where you can go to the Guitar Center or any retailer and buy, you know, a drum machine, and it's already coming pre-programmed with beats in it. And then you get some kid that does this, and they put a little vocal to it, and they say, okay, now I'm a producer. Well, no, you're not. You're a button presser. She ain't no producer, man. You press buttons. That's all you do. You know, let me see you get a pen and some manuscript paper and sit down with a keyboard or a piano and work out some chord harmonies and some, you know, 2-5 progressions, and let me see you write a progression out. That's what music is all. That's the foundation of it. It's through a progression. And that's how I write. When I sit down to write a song, I search for that right progression that expresses what I'm trying to say. And it sometimes it happens in a matter of minutes, and sometimes it happens in a matter of days. Sometimes it happens in a matter of weeks. It just all depends. But you have to pull on that spiritual thing, and that's where it comes from, and that's where Quinn Gerard music comes from.
Okay. Now, we have 7 minutes left, and I want to ask you, I know that you're kind of living on both coasts, the East and the West Coast, so are you performing any time this year on either the East or the West Coast?
On the West Coast, I just had my record release party here in New Orleans, and they're in the process of setting one up for me in Los Angeles, so that will be probably my next thing. I just got a call to go to Houston, so I'm going to be down there for a minute. So for everybody who's interested in where I'm at, just stay tuned to my website, and that's on the events page, and you'll see my list of places where I'll be, and it'll all be on my website. So if someone wants to come out and see me, they can just check there, and they'll find out where I'm at.
Okay.
But, right now I'm doing like a lot of I did a couple TV shows, television stations, and here in New Orleans, and you know, radio talk shows. I'm promoting the CD, like on your show tonight, and I'm doing a lot of radio promotion stuff right now. So, but stay tuned. The gigs are going to be coming, and you know, we're coming out of Jazz Fest season now, so we're booking a lot of stuff for next year. So really, the bulk of the performances are going to come during the spring, and when you know, Jazz Fest season kicks off next spring.
Okay. All right. Good job. Good job. You're going to be busy with this CD. Great CD. Before it's gone, definitely pick this up. You can find this on Amazon and on Quentin's website. So definitely pick it up. It's called Before It's Gone. All right, Quentin. Thank you again.
Yes.
Congratulations on this CD.
Thank you very much. And once again, I'm honored to be here. And thank you guys for having me.
Oh, we're honored to have you, and hopefully I will see you somewhere on the road on the West Coast here. So hopefully I'll see you soon.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right, great. All right. Well, have a good evening, and again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you again, and thank you to everybody for listening. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, that was saxophonist Quinton Gerard W. His CD is called Before It's Gone. You can find it on his website, QuintonGerardW.com, and on Amazon.com. Please support the artist and purchase the CDs. All right, Mike, I know, let's see, what's coming up? Saturday, we are talking to keyboardist Bobby Serafimovsky. And Bobby, if you're listening, I apologize for mispronouncing your last name. Bobby is from Macedonia, overseas somewhere. I'm not sure where Macedonia is, but he will be calling in on Saturday to talk about his new CD, No Borders. So tune in for that.
He's a nice guy, too. I talked to him via Skype, and, you know, he's a very, very nice gentleman, so can't wait to talk to him.
Yes, I talked to him as well. He's concerned about his English, but to me, he speaks very well. I mean, he's understandable. I can understand every word he says. So, but he's concerned about that. But he'll be just fine. So, all right.
Yes, indeed. Because you know, like we've had people that had translators on everything. You know, but it's crazy the artists that we're getting on here. You know, like I said, I guess you know we international, but. You know, we're getting guys from, Macedonia and places like that, and Japan and everything like that. You know, I'm like, we got to start taking some foreign language classes in a minute.
That's the truth.
You know?
All right. So let me thank those in the chat room for joining us, Anisha, Carrie Ann, and all of the guests. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this evening. We have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to close the show with another song from Quentin's CD. This song is called, I was going to do Nighttime Pleasure, but that's not long enough. So let's go with track 13. It's called Test My Love. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz again with you Saturday. So please tune in. Until then, keep it smooth. And this is Test My Love from Quentin's new CD, Before It's Gone. Good night, everyone.
I'm just never aware. You were the best thing that I ever had in my life.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our websites, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.